the rest of your body would get hurt from that impact, even though he's not going that fast.
Well, yeah, he's going to toss him. I'm so sorry.
So, like, Jimmy still loves Spinner because I would not be taking that risk for Joey's car. Although Joey did build him a ramp.
Back him down the fucking street. And yes, I would say that that Joey is trying to show his support for, you know,
so Jimmy's like, issues. Let me go save your car, like, dude.
Let me defend you, your vehicle to the end. Yeah, I can't. Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of the fourth season of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we're discussing Degrassi Season 4, Episode 16, Eye of the Tiger. Roses are red. Spinner's got a confession. Danny tries to break up Jibberty. He misses JT's attention. When Jimmy makes his triumphant return to Degrassi, the whole school is thrilled to see him. Well, almost the whole school. No longer able to avoid Jimmy, Spin is struggling under the weight of his guilt. After a super cute best friends montage, Spin finally breaks and confesses. Over in the B plot, JT and Liberty are a couple now, which mostly seems to mean they make out in her hot tub a bunch, much to Danny's chagrin. And can we talk about the awkward way they have them make out? Like, the necks must be.
Yeah, it's neck, very.
Like, this is very clearly coordinated. Like, okay, Sarah, you do this. And okay, Ryan, you do this. And then, like, I'm sure they're not, like, kissing for that whole time, which is why they have them maybe placed like that. But the crick in the neck is real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird placement. It's such weird placement.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that I don't think I've ever asked in the course of four seasons, but is this a multi-cam show? Because if it's not, then you're doing so many more takes.
So I would have to assume it's a multi-cam.
I think, because you can usually tell. I think it is. But I don't. Even with a multi-cam setup, you are doing way too many, like, neck-breaking, like, coordinated kissing efforts.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. It's choices were made. Here's my thing, though. Right out the gate of this B-plot, Liberty says, the first line of this B-plot is, your lips taste like sweet jelly. Why?
Never explain.
Why?
Never explain. Just
is he wearing lip smackers? Is he wearing, like, because I can fuck with that.
Just sweet jelly. Like, no other explanation. Like, it's cool. I don't know. They just didn't feel the need to explain for, like, sweet jelly. It's like, most jelly is sweet. Here's my problem with that sentence. Most jelly is sweet. So, sweet jelly? As opposed to what kind of jelly, Liberty?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like
is that true, Canadians? Can you weigh it, like, do you guys have various forms of jelly?
I love a good, like, hot pepper jelly is definitely a thing.
But would you say if you were meaning like a grape, like it would make more sense for her to say, your lips taste like grape jelly, or your lips taste like strawberry jelly.
Right, right. Versus it's weird that she just says sweet
jelly.
And that, maybe it's her like trying to be romantic,
like sexy, like, oh, your lips taste like honey.
Right.
Your lips taste so sweet. You could have just said your lips taste sweet.
Right. It's either a weird.
I need you to drop the jelly, or I need you to drop the sweet. I cannot deal with the level of weirdness.
Okay, that except sweet I jelly you can't, is giving me. You can't give me jelly without a qualifier.
That's what I'm saying. So I need the sweet. So I need to you to give that jelly, the noun that it deserves.
But also, why would JT's lips taste like jelly?
And why would that be?
Like, is that not indicative of him just, like, not even wiping his mouth?
Yeah. Well, it's been established that this man and his hygiene is still on the up and up.
Yeah, but if his if that's what's driving it, yeah, then unless he ate just like a jelly sandwich, a sweet jelly sandwich right before making out with Liberty, you would have so many flavors going on there.
A sweet jelly sandwich.
So I think that it is canon that JT York is a lip smackers girly. It is the only reasonable explanation.
Is that, did I miss the wave? That was this lip smackers flavor.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a specific lip smackers flavor, but like there is no other reason in 2004 for anybody to have lips that taste like jelly, sweet or otherwise.
Yeah.
There is lip smackers.
Yeah.
JT York is a lip smackers girly. You heard it here first.
He's obviously a lip. Yeah, no, I'm just. I really don't. The B plot is always kind of underwhelming to me from the point of view of there's usually so many more interesting things going on. Rarely is the B plot like, oh, this is so interesting. What I do like, though, and maybe it's just me taking delight in others' misfortune, schadenfreude, bitches, but I'm happy that Danny gets, like, a little bit of his, like, snark, like, his comeuppance when he was, like, being morally, like, superior to Toby and acting like Toby was a pile of shit and, like, he and JT were the coolest kids ever. It's like, JT will always drop you for a better offer. Always, without a doubt and without hesitation, JT York is a social climber. And he's not even always a social climber. He's just a climber. I'm just going to climb for an advantageous climber. I'm going to go up and see if there's if this is a better offer. If this is an upgrade, I'm going. And he's like, he even says that, like, you know, I would rather do this with your sister because doing this with you is not as good of an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, I mean, most people would pick that, but like JT is in the past acted like Danny is the coolest fifth grader, 12th. I don't know how old this fucking boy is.
I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be in grade 9.
I know you keep telling me that, but I just don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. But it's what makes sense.
He's so small. He's so small.
Wait,
yeah, it's fine.
I'm gonna look it up.
He's a senior with Mia, I think. I was watching.
Yeah, isn't he?
Uptown Girl. I think that's that two-parter when she's dealing with the whatever Blake, Tom Blake.
I hate that episode.
That is such. Oh.
Yeah, he graduates in season 7, and it's season 4 now. So freshman now, yeah. And then season 5, he'd be a sophomore, 6 junior. Yeah.
He's a, because then after that, not too long after, it stops being, oh, you can just count the years, and that's a school year, and that's true to the school years, the season.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes, oh, you mean season 10, B, C, D, F, G? Yeah. So Danny is small. That's okay. He grows. But
it doesn't bother me that he's small. It bothers me that Liberty has a little brother who is only a year behind her in school.
And we didn't see
and
him.
And we don't see or hear from him
until
he starts at Degrassi from a ninth grader. I don't like it.
It doesn't make sense because he would have been able to be in the show from season two. Yeah. And I feel like we are done a disservice because we could have had that Three Musketeers like intrusion vibe, and that would have given the B plots a little bit more to do in season 2 and 3. Because let's face it, they suck. And season 2 as a whole struggles because they're still very young.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have added somebody into the trio into the dynamic duo of JT and Toby, and it would have been little brother vibes, but it's still little brother vibes, and JT embraces him anyway. So I think it would work. And I mean, it would have given us a chance to actually, I don't know, like Danny right now, because I don't like Danny. He's annoying.
No, Danny sucks. Can we talk about that fight? It is perhaps the weakest fight.
Yeah, Alex and Emma threw hands like they makes them look like prize fighters. The way that
the like very gentle shoving, and then they're just kind of like, and then Danny bites him, and he gives Danny a wedgie. Like what?
Like this is clearly how you fight your kid brother. Like this is barely fighting.
I mean, I guess you don't want to kick your girlfriend's brother's ass like that.
And you right. But then, of course, Liberty comes and sees the worst part of it because that's what has to happen. It's a dramatic show. So she sees the worst part where he falls and gets a scalp cut.
Thank God they weren't at Cinderblock Park.
Oh. More comas in here.
Should we make Cinderblock Park merch?
That might be in similar taste as that pitch we were doing way back when with Heather when we were saying like the Craig Manning,
just two crazy kids.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
In poor taste. We know when we could go to, like, we know what too far is, guys.
I don't think that Cinderblock Park, because the joke is not that Terry was abused. The joke is what is this fucking Cinderblock field?
I mean, honestly, it's
like Terry would have been fine if they'd been anywhere else.
I think that literally is enough of a deep cut to be funny, like, fuck them kids.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. But you've got to be, I don't think you put anybody in there. You know, you just have Cinderblock.
No, it would just be Cinderblock Park.
Yeah, I think that could work. I think we got to toe it, though. You got to toe the line.
No, I know. You know. Come on, I know.
You got to toe that motherfucker. Yeah, no. If it was any other locale, it would have just been a scalp cut. Possibly a concussion.
Right.
But, like,
possibly just a bump on the back of your head.
Like, dude. They just happen to be surrounded by all of the discarded cinder blocks in the community. I'm so sorry, Terry. I feel so bad. And she's not a real person. She's so fictional. But I feel bad. Because, damn, you were set up for fucking failure.
Right?
Ugh. Like, Paige, you couldn't have told her. I guess ultimately it's Rick's fault for accidentally stumbling upon the discard pile of the community.
Right, that's where he stopped.
That's where he stopped. You could have kept going to the freeway and there probably would have been better results.
Right?
At least there wouldn't have been a gathering of fucking hard, sharp objects. Damn. I mean, and I guess...
When we take our pilgrimage, I want to find the spot where that was filmed.
We gotta
Cinderblock Park.
We gotta do some investigation to find any sort of...
Oh my god, and then can we do a photo shoot where we're doing like 2000s boy band poses at Cinderblock Park?
I need a fictional guitar that's low strung that I'm like holding and pretending to strum, but like looking, you know. I've always wanted to do that like head tipped, I don't care, but I'm playing the guitar. Sort of pose.
I mean, we can make this all happen. We just have to find
Cinderblock Park. Find Cinderblock Park because we cannot make Cinderblock Park. It is a naturally occurring phenomena and we've got to find it and we will find it.
I just feel like, okay, so like Shane was there, but do we think that Shane remembers?
Shane remembers. I feel like maybe his memory would be convenient like that for us, potentially.
It might be.
He could at least tell us, like, the area, and then we might be able to go from there. Because, like, what's the odds that that's not, like, a fucking, like, Tim Hortons or something?
Right. Well, it was some kind of, I mean, it wasn't that. It was, like, some kind of one of the, it looked kind it was of like a park. State park.
It did.
Honestly.
And it would have been, like, not too far outside of the Toronto area, like...
Right. And he might remember, because, like, they do, like most of the time they were like on set. On
location, yeah.
And so like being on location. Yeah, okay, we need to write that down in your little notebook.
I like that my little notebook is kind of...
As if these conversations aren't recorded and we couldn't just...
But then we've got to, like, you know...
Listen to the whole thing, yeah.
I do too. Yeah. we listen to this shit before we release it into the wild.
I don't listen to the full thing until it goes into the wild, actually. No, so I don't listen to the unedited unless I'm like fucking around on the Patreon.
No, I have to listen to the whole thing. Otherwise, something could leak through.
But somehow we got to Cinderblock Park.
We were talking about the
fight. We were talking about the fight.
It roughly applies, yeah, because we were saying if Danny was in Cinderblock Park,
he'd be that done. That could be
deadly. Or at least comatose, you know. Mm-hmm. It definitely feels like that, okay, I'm going to kick your ass to establish dominance sort of fight, but I'm not really kicking your ass. I'm just making you think I kicked your ass, and I knocked you down, which for dudes, I feel like is enough.
Mm-hmm.
For the ego. So yeah, he pushes Danny and Danny falls like, whoa, you push me. And of course Liberty's like right there,
right, just for that part.
My brother's bleeding because of you.
I almost put that in my shots fired just because there's like a very calm
demeanor and delivery. And I think it reminds me of just how she used to, like, their B plots or whatever their plots were when they were still frenemies, and mm-hmm. he would go too far with something and she'd be like,
"Fun enough for you."
And they play that strum music, dun dun. Like, and it's just quite clear that he realizes, well, I've fucked up, I've gone too far, damn it. You always go too far, JT. You always go too damn far.
Always.
But we all know that Danny is fucking annoying, and it's literally a scalp. If you know anything about scalp, like, cuts, they bleed.
Right. Head wounds bleed.
Okay?
Tiny head wounds
bleed. He gonna be okay. There's a lot of blood vessels. It's fine.
But Liberty is not having it. You don't get to make her brother bleed.
She's like, you can come in my hot tub with your shorts, your street shorts that double as swim trunks, but you cannot knock my
make
brother down.
My brother bleed.
And make him bleed, yeah. It's, she has
Which
a line.
I get, though.
No, she has a line, and it's like, I know he's annoying, but like, you cannot like physically harm him. Which,
to be fair, though, and we'll get to it when we get to it, because I'm sure we both have it in our shots fired, but Danny's lucky that JT didn't just knock him out.
Yeah.
I mean, and part of that is that JT can't knock him out, probably, physically.
Right.
Incapable of that, but...
He can't punch. Sometimes I have these dreams where I can't punch anybody and my arm is like a noodle.
Like, that's what I picture if JT had tried to punch. That's why they're just like,
wait, like the video you made, the scram. He just
she doesn't want to talk to you.
It's like noodle arm scram.
Just get away from her.
It's definitely, like, I would put money on Danny, you know? Like, I'm going to put, like, if Danny's pissed off enough, I believe that he could probably kick JT's ass.
Probably.
At least flip him over. You know, he's lowered
but
to the ground.
But also, I don't know, he resorted to biting.
He's a child.
That's
why
fair.
I'm like, he is not in ninth grade. That boy's in seventh
right?
grade max. He is a kid, and he doesn't even look, you know, ninth graders, I remember how kids in ninth grade look. We, like, there was the awkwardness you had to you, but you could tell that, and you still had the baby face. I still had people questioning my ability to legally work well into my teens. So it's not like you look any older than Danny, but it's clear that you're further along in aging than Danny is. Danny has just started, like, experiencing maybe slight changes in his body. Like, he's getting body odor and stuff. He's still on the cusp of any sort of puberty. Like, he's...
I mean, but it's not like there aren't a few of those kids in every freshman class.
And that's fair. Maybe I'm being too critical. I just think it's more
But it is weird. It's... No,
it
Danny's in grade 7.
JT and... Right, it reminds me of JT and... Toby in seventh grade, first season, their voices and everything. Second season, they sounded different. They were a little bit taller. You know,
yeah.
JT took a second, but he still looked a little bit.
JT
older.
Still looked like Jamie Lee Curtis, but
he still had the yes, he still had heavy Jamie Lee Curtis going on. But yeah, I just think that maybe that actor. I know he's got a name and he's going to be around for a while. And I kind of see it in my head, but I think his last name starts with like an A or something. I could look it up because I know people like Danny. And right, we forgot we have a new character to do film club.
Danny? Shit.
Yeah, Danny, I believe I've seen him in things.
Word.
Yeah, Danny Van Zandt from... I think that he's just a character that, against JT, it's like Dalmar Abuz... Yeah, I'm not going to mess up his last name, but Dalmar A. I knew he had a last name that started with an A, but he's been in... Yeah, look, he looked like this now. He's still...
Yeah, no, he's hot.
You're like, yeah, no.
I knew that.
You're like, I was aware. He was just in
you
Luckiest
know who's
Girl
not
Alive.
Hot?
Ooh, he was just in Luckiest Girl Alive. I remember
Liberty's
that.
Dad. He is not hot to me, which is weird because usually the toxic daddies do something for me. Or maybe that's just Mr. Santos.
I'm sorry, but he's giving pastor. Liberty's dad
he
is giving pastor.
Is. He's giving a no-nonsense version of the pastor from Superstore.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn's pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Liberty tells when Liberty tells Danny, "I'm not in the mood for your hullabaloo, Danny."
She talks like such an old lady sometimes.
She is, well, because she's edgy and she's on fire.
And she's on fire. Yeah, no, it, I love how she's like ripping up the stuff, like, I guess presumably the love notes that she wrote. Or something out of her, like, pages she's, like, tearing up and or and keepsakes when and, like, dipping her feet in the hot tub. And, like, he's, like, he's, you know, why are you upset over JT? And she's, like, this is my boyfriend.
Right.
And then he has the same moment as JT. It's, like, don't think I'm okay with you. I'm not okay with you either. You fucked up, too. He's, like, oh, I fucked up. I have fucked up.
Well, because he didn't get it. He thought that they were just kind of fucking around.
Yes. And he definitely didn't think that there were going to be any repercussions, like Liberty genuinely, like, not seeing JT anymore.
Right.
And, you know, he because he's a kid, he did not think any of that.
Right, that boy is in, like, fifth grade.
He literally thought no steps ahead. He was, like, two steps behind and back.
Yeah.
Just witty with the comebacks. He's just witty with the comebacks, that's all. He's quick on his feet, but slow in the brain. I don't know how that's possible.
But he doesn't.
But sometimes people shit talk very well, and it's very convincing.
I don't know, because kids can roast you like nobody else.
It's like they have a roast center that, like, operates, that operates independently of their brain functions. So, like, they can roast you while doing... like nothing else that were you were they were told. Nothing else is being processed in the other part of the brain, but the roast center's on fire.
Oh my god.
I am just so upset with the dad though, with Liberty's dad, for just like not like being like simultaneously very stern and strict and controlling and also so lackadaisical.
Right, he's like, oh, I thought I heard your sister. Who were you talking to? Practicing for presentation, Dad. All right, then. Stay in school, son.
Right. Or,
like, whatever. Like,
they shock. Whatever bullshit, right? It's like similar, like, oh, yeah, oh, keep it up. Keep up the good work or whatever. And it's like, you really do zero investigation when it comes to your son.
Okay, so it's giving pastor. It's also giving, like... judge in a courtroom drama, like the older judge, not like way older,
the world,
but, you know,
weary, like the years have been rough, and he's seen a lot of, and his hope is shattered. And
But like, no, you know, like in TV,
sorry,
when
I've
a
been
judge,
watching Law and Order too
bad. You know, in TV, when a judge will be like, "I'll allow it," which is like not a thing that they do.
I have not been in enough real courtrooms to know that.
I haven't either, but my mom's a lawyer. And I asked her about it, and she was like, no, most of the time they just say sustained.
it's dramatic. It's television.
But you know what is real is, you know, I don't know if it happens in Law and Order, but it would happen in the practice where sometimes the lawyers would get taken to, like, lawyer jail. Because they get held in contempt of court. Yeah. My friend Ashley told me that's a real thing.
Oh, I love that. Like, throw your ass in the brig.
Anyway, so those are things that Liberty's dad might do.
For the day, yeah.
Is he's either a pastor or a judge. Either way, he knows the fucking mayor.
He clearly knows the fucking mayor. Maybe he's, what are one of those people that, like, fund... their own political
like lobbyists.
Maybe
no.
He's a lobbyist. Do they exist in I think that might be what that is.
I think lobbyists exist everywhere that capitalism exists.
Fun. But yeah, he's just very much
watch,
like,
watch, he's actually just like the mayor's aide.
The mayor's aide. He knows the mayor. I feel like Danny does kind of do a really good course correction.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need much, just literally him to stop terrorizing them. like, stop making it weird. I'll still hang out with you. Just not as much as I want to, like, make out with her in the hot tub.
Right.
Like, I can do both. The hot tub will be closed soon. We can hang out.
Babe, hot tubs are an all season thing.
You can, I think maybe that's the point, right?
Yeah. Like you can remember when I last winter I had that house sitting gig up in the mountains with the hot tub and I got like snowed in and was just like, I'm gonna enjoy a snowstorm from the hot tub for a minute.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, hot tubs are year round. Hot tubs out like in the snow are magical.
That sounds something like something really cool to do when you're not that high and or drunk, whatever your preference is.
You
And
know
because
what?
I wouldn't want to accidentally slip under of
There's a resort up here, like a ski resort, that has an indoor water park and also has some good hot tubs. When you come, we should do like a, I don't know, you should come to
Yeah,
Vermont
we
and
should
we'll
try to do like
do winter.
a retreat, take a part, you know, an actual retreat this time, because we
Yep.
wanted to do one. And I guess it's just, I mean, Charlie's obviously welcome.
Right. Charlie can totally come.
Charlie, bring that ass. In the words of Shane, was a party. Was looking forward to seeing you.
Everybody else
Everybody
is
else is
here.
here. I am convinced that Shane is like personally upset that Charlie was like, he's still like, why is everybody else here except for you?
Yeah.
Except for you gotta be the cool kid and stay your ass back up north. Yeah. If you know, you know, guys, of course. I feel like that every time I watch the video, because I check in to see comments and stuff, and I'm like, oh, the search. And I mean, TikTok does that to do what? What does TikTok make the search related search thing for?
So that you can, if you come across a TikTok and you don't know what it's about, you can get caught up quickly.
Oh, I did search for it. And I forget what came up, but it wasn't, it was like two things that were related to the podcast, and then like everything else wasn't. And like, there's not much of that lore on TikTok. You gotta
Yeah,
listen
that's
to
not
the pod.
surprising.
You gotta listen to the podcast, the pad, to know
Man.
those details. But yeah, I feel like, have we maxed out this B plot? What else is there to talk about?
Yeah, no, we've maxed out this B plot. I don't know. I'm not really a big gibberdy shipper.
I don't know.
I like saying gibberdy.
I like saying Jeopardy too. I've never been a big Jeopardy shipper either. I think that what we all really,
J. Tibberdy?
ew. Sorry, that sounds like such a like hard thing to say, and like easily fuck upable. And I like
J.
to
Tibberdy.
minimize Jay Tipperty. It sounds like Justin Timberlake, and we don't want to talk about him.
Is gonna ruin the world, the tour.
Listen, there are so many artists that I'm like, oh my gosh, there's things you've done when I
Yeah.
listen to you now. Fuck me for being informed. But yeah, I'm not a big Jeopardy shipper, and I just, it's the start of them, and I mean, it's fine, but I'm just, it is, we all know why we really care about them, and it's because of what happens. It's really not because of anything in between.
Right.
If we're gonna be, let's all be honest.
I
If
mean,
you really,
controversial opinion.
if you genuinely enjoy these
I
people
would
from
love to
start to
have
finish,
somebody come on and,
please come on and defend these people
yeah.
like it's your last breath, and I will have such, give you such an audience for that. We will both give you, you have the court. You know, you have the court's attention. Go on. Because what the fuck? I'm just not having fun through most of it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, no.
No. But yeah, I mean, with that,
With that, let's hop on over to the A plot. This A
Zimon.
plot is intense.
Yeah. So I feel like we're supposed to feel quite bad for Spinner throughout this episode. Originally, I think I did. But like, dude, you're kind of, I agree with Jimmy with the whole you're trying to make yourself feel better. You were, and I think we talked about it in a different context, the unburdening yourself.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's something, a lot of the time confessions can be kind of selfish. Or maybe not selfish, but self-serving.
Yeah. There's like, some things that people don't need to know because it's not going to change anything. But it's not.
I mean,
also
it does. Even, it does change something, though, because now Jimmy and Spinner aren't friends.
Well, it changed, right? And I mean, I think to an extent, my whole like conundrum with that was like, my brain was like, "Why did you have to tell him that's selfish?" But then also, I did have another brain that said, "Well, Jimmy was directly blaming himself for being the thing that pushed Rick to put him in the chair," which is partially true. Because honestly, it was teed up. I was just talking to, you know, I was telling you in pre-show, I had dinner with my mom and her fiance and my girlfriend. So my mom was essentially saying that, like, yes, Jimmy did have kind of a come to Jesus moment and like realized that he had gone too far and been tormenting him and fucked up. But ultimately, he had been a big role or a player in his bullying. And earlier in the episode, earlier in the episode of Time Stand Still, the first part, tossed him into the dumpster and was still actively bullying him. And though, of course, he was not the one who put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, he did tee it up, you know, like he teed everything up. Like there was a lot of months of torment, well, or at least weeks like, of torment since like, he had been back at Degrassi.
Had the like school-wide bullying campaign and the being thrown in the dumpster and all of that shit not happened,
right?
Had they saved it all up for the Carrie prank,
right? It probably
that wouldn't have ended in a school shooting.
Correct. Like, it wouldn't have been every day getting
the tar and feathering, the paint and feathering is fucked and not okay at all,
right?
And it wouldn't have been as catastrophic as it was on its own.
Right, exactly.
Like, all of these things were a piece of it. Mm-hmm. There are at least 13 reasons, as we know.
As we do know. And, yeah, I just think it's not fair to, like, put the onus solely on Spinner in this episode, that because it's like we're supposed to want, like, they want us to feel bad for him, but they also want us to feel like he was the only one. And it's like, no, I was there,
right?
He was not the only one. It was a group effort. Okay,
right. Well, and you know what pisses me the fuck off? He tells Jimmy and then he goes to school and everybody is like, it's not the level that Rick was getting, but everybody is talking about him. Everybody is giving him dirty looks.
Exactly. And like, Manny,
like, did we learn nothing?
We didn't. We learned absolutely nothing. And like, I think it this all contributes to conversations we've been having the past couple episodes, because I know we just talked about how we're not as charmed by Manny. How it's coming to the end of the okay, Manny can do no wrong era, because she, a lot of her behavior is super unsavory and it's problematic.
I love the things that I love about Manny. I think that at Manny's core, Manny is a good person.
Yeah. But she makes a lot of decisions that she, and choice, like she does a lot of things she knows are wrong.
Right.
And if she doesn't know that it's wrong, she knows it's a little bit wrong. She, like, she has and she's very good at discerning situations and people and things. I don't think she's ever, like, genuinely bamboozled in these situations that she's making bad choices. I just think that she would rather get the, like, what she wants out of it. So she continues forth. And, yeah. Like, clearly, Spinner had everything that she was wanting in a boyfriend just a couple episodes ago. Heck, at the beginning of this episode, he's on the basketball team. You know, he's got a job. He's got, you know, cool haircut. I actually kind of despise the way they wanted an episode. I know it's,
I know it's not the way that it was styled in Time to Stand Still.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's the worst. It is a really bad styling of this hair.
It's, yeah.
And it's like she's such a mean girl in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like she doesn't have the decency to break up with him.
She barely had the decency to agree to be in a relationship with him.
Right.
She does not communicate well. And no, like, she just had to do that. Like, honestly, it's a thing that in Gossip Girl happens a couple times, like the mean girl, sultry stare down. It's like, you know, without words, what's being communicated to you. And clearly he knows that he no longer has a girlfriend based on that.
Right.
But like, he deserved to be communicated with. And for that, you're a dick. You can't text message breakup.
Mm-mm. I love that you just referenced that. Can I tell you that anytime, like, I try not to be a dick about bad spelling, but anytime I see somebody spell break that way, break in that my way. Head, I am like, B-R-A-K-E, break, right. That's in your car, dummy.
That's in your car. No, seriously. That was
God, Kelly was a whole ass vibe.
It was a moment. It was a moment in time. And I miss it so much. Things were so simple. It was just like those four videos to like watch.
The whole time that I was in Amsterdam, I kept thinking about the in the skit that opens Let Me Borrow That Top, where the lesbian mm-hmm. aunt and Maria yeah. come to visit. Mm-hmm. And the drunk granny at some point is like, I've always said the best folk music comes from the, and you think she's going to say a lesbian slur, but then said she's like the Dutch.
Oh my gosh. Anytime I hear the Dutch, I think of that part in Goldmember when Nigel Powers is like, there are two things I can't stand. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures.
And the Dutch.
Dear gosh. All of the, Manny sucks. Manny is a bandwagon little girl, and she's going to go with the popular opinion. She's going with the popular opinion.
I don't think that's not usually.
Well, at least with this. I'm called like a social bandwagon. Like, she did she hop on the bandwagon?
No, Manny has been standing up to Paige Michael Chuck since season one.
No, the ribbon campaign against Rick. She did.
She wasn't really involved.
They didn't show her.
I don't think she was friendly with Rick, but.
No, that was Emma's crusade. I mean, I guess she's getting into more of that era, and I do know what happens next, so I'm not. Maybe I'm thinking of things she does in the future versus things she's done in the past. Because she definitely, as she gets more insecure physically, she starts mm-hmm. to be more, oh, okay, I'm just going to do this thing.
Right.
That I know is not really me, but this is what everybody
else is
doing.
But that's, like, never been her before.
It hasn't been her before. She has been quite vocal.
Except dating JT. But that was a whole different thing.
Well, yeah.
That was about not wanting to hurt JT's feelings.
That was
feelings.
Not wanting to hurt one of her oldest friends, as Liberty
said. And that,
said.
Like,
Liberty
was...
says that as she was making out with him. Like, how you can't justify that, Liberty. Sorry.
He does, like... He has this, like, perfect timing with his, like, embarrassment with the fries.
Mm-hmm.
The don't get all up in my fries, Doc.
Yeah, the
don't. And her, you know, fall from grace.
Yeah, and no, like, it was the perfect intersection of social isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They it happened at a time when they both needed it. And they quickly realized that it just wasn't, well, Manny realized it just wasn't it.
Right.
And like, I do think sometimes I think about more what's going to happen. I try to be quite objective, but like, I think it's just a testament to how Manny's character kind of has a decline. And she stops being so vocal about the things that bother her and about things she doesn't want to do and about, and she stops being vocal, period. I think that's what it is. She stops being vocal, period. Which is sad to see because she does have a quite.
Yeah, but I think she gets it back. And I, and to be fair, I haven't watched like that part of her arc in a while.
No, she does get it back, but it's a quite a while that she is in that like non-vocals time. But you're right. It's definitely an ebb and flow with her and her growth. It's like when she feels like the old Manny again, I know that time.
Can we talk about how cute Hazel is in the opening scene when she's like, hey, Law, my boyfriend's back?
Yeah. I like that they have everybody there. Even, you know, I like that Ashley's there.
But she's not at the party, which is not a party. She's not at
the party.
It's five friends in a living room singing karaoke.
They're singing
karaoke. Are they at Craig's house?
They are.
Or Joey's house, I mean.
Joey's, but it doesn't look like it. And I don't think that's the paint that they paint. If that's the paint that they painted the walls with and they just styled it with those weird vases that I say vases because it's not a vase because it's a vase. It's one of those weird bougie vases that she brought back from her travels abroad.
This is the meeting. What's the line for Mean Girls?
This is the fertility tribe. This is the fertility vase of the Underbelly tribe. Does that mean anything to you?
Not really.
Who are you?
But you love Ladysmith Black Mombazo.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. I don't, it doesn't really look, that's weird that you say that because it's never really looked like Joey's house or Craig's house. It's never.
But does that mean, can we talk about though that means that Joey put up a ramp at his house?
I love that so much.
I love that too.
So Joey does not get like therapy for his stepson that was literally put into his care after his abusive father got into, but you're going to get a rant. Okay.
No, but it's still, it's growth. Improved it's good. Growth, it's endearing.
Growth is endearing. And I love your little bald ass for that. Okay. That is cute. That is some very cute off camera character development. You know, character
growth. I guess we're not there. That's like the end of the episode though. Sorry.
No,
I just was thinking about it though, because that karaoke party is so, like, why are we calling it a party?
That's exactly what I thought though. Is like, why is Ashley good enough to be at like the lower?
She's Craig's girlfriend. Why is she not
there? Why is she not there? And honestly, fuck it, it's a party. Even Ellie should be there,
right?
Like, Ellie's friendly with Jimmy. Like,
she was in a band with Hazel.
She was in a band with Hazel and Jimmy.
And Paige and Ashley.
Hazel and Ashley and like their whole band, but she's been around, you know. She should be.
Yeah.
If it was like, a party.
If it was a party, like.
Very loosely.
Very, it was like a get
gathering.
A gathering. Like, I wouldn't even call that a shindig.
It is not a shindig because there's nothing fancy about it.
Are shindigs fancy?
Well, I didn't even see any like snacks.
Now I gotta Google what the fuck a shindig is.
I didn't see any snacks. I didn't see any deco. I didn't see any drinks. There was nary a table for anybody to wet their whistle. How the fuck are they supposed to hydrate after singing? You should at least have drinks.
Right? No, it's calling that a party was a very big stretch.
Yeah. Are these
kids not actually popular at all?
I want mood lighting. Maybe one of those little disco balls that's actually lights that are multicolored and spins. Those one of those things. Yeah, maybe they're just maybe they're nerds and.
Because, like, 700 students and five of them showed up to your party.
And you're so popular. One of them lives in the house. You're so popular that arguably that entire, like memorial or not memorial, whatever, candlelight vigil that they did after the shooting was pretty much in your honor because ain't nobody was holding Rick, pictures of Ricky Boy.
No.
Out there. So I'm pretty sure it's supposed, and then. They just have people crying for Jimmy and everything. And then the only people that come to his party are the people that have been friends with him since, you know, his main crew. We get no stragglers. We get no extras. Because maybe they're like, because we don't want anybody else to witness this drunken spinner drama.
Right.
Nobody, only 3 to 5 people get to see drunken spinner at a time.
I feel like, though, okay, so I want to talk more about Spinner and, like, yes, it is self-serving to, like, confess to Jimmy. All that does is make you feel a little less guilty.
Yeah.
And make Jimmy feel betrayed.
Right. Is he not considering that?
But, like, totally. I mean, what, like, is the alternative any better of, like, okay, so they have their cute little best friends montage where Spin's, like, following Jimmy around, making the world accessible for him. It's very cute. Mm-hmm. They're happy. They're laughing. They're having a good time. Jimmy can't figure out how to, like, approach the water fountain and Spin's right around the corner with a bottle of water. Like, hey, buddy, I got you. Mm-hmm. They carry on like that for the rest of their lives. With yeah. Jimmy not knowing.
Right, the truth. But I think that's a testament to why Spinner is a character that endures in this show, because he literally cannot make it through a whole day without, like, confessing. Right. He's literally like, no, I feel terrible. I gotta tell him. And Jay's ass is like, you didn't have to actually tell him shit. You could have, like...
Right, that was dumb as fuck.
You could have carried on like this forever. Now you have no friends. But, like, I think that that's probably why we're supposed to root for Spinner, is because he genuinely could not clear the day with that hammy ass, oh, let me assist you through every walk of life shit.
Yeah. Can we talk about, I wrote down Jay's little monologue.
Mm-hmm. wait, the one in the dot? Or the one, oh, the no, one when he's
the one behind the dot.
The one behind the dot. Like, I can't with Jay, because yes, you do the monologue and then I have a comment about it.
Okay. Pulls the bottle of rum out. This guy, he's nasty. Tastes like fire. Rubs people the wrong way. Pulls out the bottle of cola. This guy here, well, sweet. Refreshing. But when these two get together, bad news. Kind of like you and me. Like, why does it sound like you're trying to fuck him?
To fuck him? To entice him to fuck you?
Like,
literally, I have, yeah. It's... That's just
like, can't you imagine, like, some, like, you're like 16 hanging out with, like, some loser senior, you're hanging out with Jay Hogarth as a 16 year old girl who's never, like, been drinking before.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you see him pulling that out and, like, trying to be smooth and sexy with it?
Oh, that's totally the little spiel, or, you know, soliloquy he gives to everybody.
He's just always got a bottle of rum and a bottle of Coke.
Always got a bottle of rum and a bottle of Coke. And can we talk about how he does not pour? He doesn't do the thing that most level-headed people would do and chug a little bit of the Coke and then pour some of the alcohol in the Coke. And then, no, he pours like 2 capfuls of Coke in the bottle of rum.
Yeah, it's...
So when I tell you that, like, when Spinner rolls up to the potty, and we say potty in quotes, and Jimmy's like, whoo-wee, have you been drinking? You smell like a brewery. It's because he's been drinking straight rum.
Right.
With a splash of Coke in it. Jeez. So rude.
What's frustrating for me about Spinner in all of this, mm-hmm. is, like, he isn't, like, yeah, he confesses, and, like, yeah, he feels bad. He knows he had a hand in it, but he's not taking accountability. Because, like, to jump to the end when he's with Hot Sauce, mm-hmm. I feel like he's bringing Jay down with him, mm-hmm. because it was Jay's idea, and, you know, because Jay is that agent of chaos that swoops in and creates horrible chaos.
Yeah. He doesn't, and I mean, that's the thing. He is like, I am not going down for this alone. Mm-hmm. I am going down with someone. But, like, in all fairness, it wasn't, he did take, like, responsibility for parts that really weren't his idea. Like, it was not, he did not get the paint. Like, it was not him who actually sourced the materials and coordinated that shit. He really just went along with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's terrible. Like, clearly, you was riding for the bullshit. Like, obviously, he's wrong with that. But, like, Jay was clearly the one who was orchestrating all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I get that, but, like,
do you feel like he should have just went down by himself?
It's not necessarily that I think he should have gone down by himself. Mm-hmm. So much as it's that I feel like his ratting Jay out didn't have to do with, like, justice for anyone but Spinner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with that.
And so, like, I don't think, like, I'm not upset that Jay, that he brought Jay into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Jay's role is always, like, that's why Hot Salakos didn't even question it. Because if you had said someone like Emma, you know, right. It's going to be like, well, how is Emma involved, you know? Like, there would have been more questions, but, like, she knows that Jay is quite capable of some.
Right, but Spinner didn't have to name like anybody.
He didn't have to name anyone. And, I mean, to be fair, I feel like the takeaway I have with Spinner is just he's cowardly. He's just cowardly. And that's what it is. Like, I, you know.
Also, I had a thought, you know, it's a question we get asked a lot of, like, why didn't Alex go down for this? And I think, I mean, obviously the obvious answer is because Spinner didn't rat her out, but why? And I suspect that it's because, like, Alex helped set up the prank, but Alex wasn't in the bathroom.
To actually pin it on Jimmy. And make that whole story up that ultimately led to the shooting. So what Alex,
that gun was back in his locker.
Right. What Alex signed up for was to continue her, you know, adopted crusade against Rick. And she has always done these things that are clearly malicious, like in the name of, like, She has a reason behind it because she's seen things with her mom, or, like, it's personal to her. So she feels entitled to kind of exact her revenge or continue her assault of someone who's done these things. So, I mean, it is a different level of culpability because, yes, that tar and feathering is what pushes Rick over the edge to go get the gun. But technically, what truly makes the school shooting occur is what Jay and Spinner did in the ammunition against Jimmy. and the pointing the finger at Jimmy as being the mastermind of all of this shit. And him feeling betrayed and feeling like he actually had a friend and now people are laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like people he thought.
Because his friend that he thought was his friend set him up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, Alex is certainly responsible, but she is not culpable in the shooting.
Well, okay. I mean,
I have
to remember, though, that the tar and feathering was enough for the shooting. Paige's apology was initially enough to stop the shooting. He was about to shoot Paige, but she got up and walked over and said, "I'm really sorry. That wasn't cool."
Right. It's like, it's an interference. It's like he wanted a reason to not shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for confirmation of feeling like people were laughing at him and making fun of him and always against him. And that's what that's why he went up to Paige, because Paige always has a mean word for him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pan out because Paige ultimately has a conscience and is a human being and knows when it's just not appropriate to lay it on thick, because right. You actually feel like someone went out of bounds, you know? So it's like, yes, she did make it. That's why, like, she made him bring the gun to the school. But what really, and of course, Paige ran interference and made the shooting not progress in against her and the people in the cafeteria. But ultimately, Rick was set loose in the hallways because of Spinner and Jay.
Ultimately,
Alex is responsible, but she did not. What she did did not result in the shooting that we're talking about.
Right. And, like, I don't know. I feel like it's not much of a stretch to say that so many people are responsible.
Emma is someone who is large, like, has...
Toby is probably one of the only people in that school that was not responsible.
That does not have any, yeah. Because, it's like, we have talked about it before, that Emma's the one who mobilized this fucking cause against him. And mm-hmm. made it not something that a couple, handful of people knew about. Made it something that was...
Made it a school-wide campaign.
And she is the reason why people started inundating him with, you know, just random fucking torment, you know, like just book smacked down, getting shoved, getting, you know, called names. Like anybody would be unnerved and depressed by that and beaten mm-hmm. down by that, you know, like it's never like she blew his shit all the way up. And she had, to me, of course, Alex played a role in that because she was involved in the campaign too, but she didn't start it. And Emma doubles down. And of course, Emma backs out when she feels bad. But she, the damage was already done. And what she did had a ripple effect. What she did made it so that the events had to be resulting in the shooting. Like she mobilize the hatred against Rick.
Right. If it had just been Paige and company being like, "We're not friends with you. Mm-hmm. Like, go be friends with the grade tens. They don't know your shit."
Right. Exactly. And that's all they would have done.
It would have, you know, like they would have been shitty to him for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But they would have then started to largely avoid him and
right.
made it a mission to like let him know he was not welcome. And he would have eventually got the hint.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Emma made it her mission that everyone in school needed to know what Rick did. And what person wouldn't be enraged by hearing that? You know?
Right.
It's very much like Emma commits so many...
And that's not to put it... Like, ultimately, it's Rick. Ultimately, it is Rick.
It's Rick's response. But so many
people played a hand in it, and so many adults failed that child. So many adults failed him.
He asked for help. He actually did do the thing. You know, like, he did things.
I think it goes all the way back to the abusive behavior, though. Like, the first go round with Terry, he learned that somewhere.
Right.
And he most likely learned that in the home.
Mm-hmm. He was just allowed back into the school with no oversight, no mandatory survey, like, what, I don't know what he needed, but it's like he was just basically set free, and it's like, oh, you're any other student now. But it's like, right, he wasn't. He needed more. Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course, Spinner feels like, okay, I have been sitting on this info, and clearly it's going to change how Jimmy feels about things that have happened. I need to tell him. I would like to say that him not telling him would be the best choice, but like, I think that it's important that he knows that he did not put the final touch on his fate. You know, like, he definitely had a large hand in making Rick's life hell.
Yeah.
But he did not betray Rick in the way that he was said to betray Rick. And Rick died thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a shame. Like, you feel for Jimmy in this episode. I feel like he's reacting how anyone would react to a betrayal of that kind.
Yeah, you changed the entire trajectory of my life.
Right. Just fucking around.
Like, I'm not even out of high school.
Right. And you're talking about next. Like, it's so very clear that Spinner just had no idea what his actions would set in motion. And, like, he's talking about, oh, you can, because one of the things that he does in his guilt is get Jimmy awarded an honorary, MVP trophy, and it's now named
the Jimmy Brooks Trophy.
And yeah, and it's like, he quickly says after that, right before he confesses, is like, oh, you know, next year we'll get him again, or something like that, or you gotta brush up. And it's like, okay, there's clearly not gonna be a next year, Spinner. Like, I cannot play on the, like,
right. Yeah. I got shot in the spine.
Yeah. And it's like, Spinner, what? And even when he's getting expelled, he's like, oh, when do I get to come back? And Hot Sulacos wants to fucking flip a table. She's like, I've been principal for 10 minutes.
What, right? I mean, she's already doing better than Radich, though.
Right. Zero tolerance. Because if that was a policy that was enforced, how different things would be.
Right. Right. But also, it's so easy to, like, abuse that.
Oh, it's totally easy to abuse that. I think that they could have paid more attention following what happened to Terry. And Rick was failed.
I mean, but that was a different thing. That was not bullying. It was abuse, which is not a form of bullying, but it also wasn't happening on school property, really, was it?
No, but I more mean that they allowed him back into school with little to no oversight.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's like knowing that this person has a struggle. And as far as I know, any student, any school that I've attended, and now being on, like, the side where I get to understand things about kids that are in my care, you get a lot of background info on your students. You know a lot of their, so that you can better help them as their instructor, as their caregiver. And I feel like it's kind of unrealistic that there wouldn't be more of a care plan in place for Rick. And I know it now, of course, 10 toes. There's no way he's not getting
frequently checked in with, and maybe even a modified school schedule. Like, he's not going back to school full time. Like, he's going to do a couple classes, go home at lunch or whatever. Like, something like that for a while to get him back into being in this social environment. Because I think that there's just so many more nuances to bullying, and school shootings are much more of a thing that people are on high alert about. Like, that's a daily thought for a lot of people, myself included, now that I go into a school every day. And I mean, it is in the mornings and the afternoons, but like, I can be there during school hours. So it's like, I worry about that. You know, I worry about my safety in a school. I work in an elementary school. So
yeah, no, but
it's still quite scary to think about that. And it might not be a student, but it could be a student, because there have been instances of elementary school students bringing in firearms. So nowadays we're much more aware of, you never know what's going on at home or with someone, or what could contribute to someone having a reaction that might be that, you know, an active shooter situation.
It's just not that hard to not be a dick to people.
Oh, it's totally not. And I feel like that should be just a general, like, life hack. Is just like, if you feel the urge to dick and dick towards someone, just don't. Just chill out.
Right.
Like, it's most likely not necessary. And it's gonna, I don't know about most people though. I feel very shitty when I lash out at someone who doesn't deserve it, because I'm having a shitty day, or I'm not processing things, or, you know, like, for whatever reason that one does lash out or be a dick.
I mean, and I do think, like, the bullying against Rick was definitely something different from that. I'm not saying that, like,
they didn't have a right to be angry.
Right.
And that there wasn't just cause for the feelings of rage and feeling like they wanted to take it out on Rick.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, he just shouldn't have been at that fucking school.
Mm-hmm.
He should not have been at that
school. He should not have been allowed to come back to the school. And I think that that was the start of the failure. Mm-hmm. Like, why was he allowed back? We're like, he's a regular student. We know this dude's got some...
Not that he doesn't deserve to be ostracized.
Right.
But
I feel like that's the extent of what he deserves.
But that, like, we also, like, it's not unreasonable to realize that that has negative effects on a person. So, like, why did nobody put their foot down and say, no, honey, you're a child. And, like, I know what's in your best interest, and returning to Degrassi isn't that.
Right. Like, that should have been the conversation. Like, this is not in your best interest. You need to get an education.
He could have gone to Lakehurst and ruled the school, because they would have been like, you put a Degrassi bitch in a coma? My boy. Like,
welcome. No, seriously. He could have gone to another school where people did not know his drama and did not know the crime he committed.
Right.
And, like, literally lived anew and had a fresh start. But he likes Degrassi because he's a glutton for punishment. And I just wish that his mother would have, like, or some reputable adult would have said, no, this is not good for your mental health.
Right. Right.
But were we having really serious conversations about mental health in 2004?
No, not we were enough. Not.
And very rarely. And not very quality conversations either, might I add.
Nope. Not one bit.
But yeah, I mean, Spinner's clearly on the outs. He's on the shit list. He doesn't have any friends.
Correct. Correct.
He had 30 minutes. The 30 minutes are up. Because these 30 minutes started in Bark at the Moon. And they have expired. Yeah. I feel
Spin.
I know that this is not the end, and he does. But it takes a bit. He's got to kind of reap what he's sown for a bit of time. And as he should, because, like, I mean, at least he's in good company. Can we talk about how Joey's car was almost fucking
was stolen and totaled.
Yeah.
And probably torched on the side of the freeway or something.
It was almost a murder weapon.
Joey's like, you don't even know Joey Wood bullshit. You just avoided. But like, can we talk about how Craig is like, keys. I don't need more bullshit.
Right. Like, Caitlin can't bail him out of this one.
Like, I just got out of trouble. Like, come on. Like, I just caused $4,000 worth of damage.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh, Craig.
Please. You don't know. You don't know what's going on.
I have put this man through so much.
I have put him through so much.
You don't understand.
Can I just get out of this school year without causing any more property damage?
Go steal another car, Spinner.
Go fucking steal.
Right, because I love how Jimmy's like, go drive off a bridge. I don't fucking care. You're already dead to me.
Yeah.
And then fucking Craig's just like, keys.
Right. Craig's like, find another vehicle in which to drive off this bridge that he speaks of. Because it ain't this one. Cha-cha. Yeah.
Taint.
Yeah, no, it's sad, but it is what it is. The way that those brakes and those heavy ass cars were set up, he almost took out his kneecaps.
Right, the stunt driver for that.
Fucking close. Because if there was no room for error. He was right there at his kneecaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a long-nosed car, too. You chanced that. I'm sorry. You chanced that.
And, like, I'm sorry that a drunk Spinner Mason is able to pull that off.
Was just casually able to not only stomp on the gas, but then promptly stamp on the brakes. Because that was like a 2-second response time.
Right?
I don't know if I...
No.
I'm not due. First of all, I'm not getting behind somebody's old school, like, classic caddy. I'm not taking my fucking best friend's or former best friend's classic caddy out for a drunken joyride. But the reflexes are a reflexin', Spinner.
Right.
That was impressive.
Right.
Because then he would have been in a wheelchair with no kneecaps. Like, that was a fucking gamble. And you saw in his face that he was not sure that he was going to stop.
Yeah.
He's like, well, damn it, I'm lucky. I'm so sorry.
Well, and I feel like that implies that Jimmy is like he probably means it to a degree in that moment, but like that you're dead to me already. Like, yeah. No, he's not, because you would have, like, you were going to risk your life to save Joey's fucking car.
Clearly, right?
Like,
yeah, you were laying it all on
not your life, but your kneecaps at least.
You were laying your kneecaps down in the name of Joey's fucking.
I mean, I guess at least he wouldn't feel it, right?
I mean, ow. I wish that I knew what the nerve damage was looking like, because we've got episodes coming up related to, like, further up, and that doesn't seem to be too promising.
Right. So I think there is a decent chance that he doesn't have
the need for kneecaps.
Like, well, not the need for kneecaps, but
the nerves. So I mean, like, silver lining,
it probably, but like the rest of your body would get hurt from that impact, even though he's not going that fast.
Well, yeah, he's gonna toss him. I'm so sorry.
So, like, Jimmy still loves Spinner, because I would not be taking that risk for Joey's car. Although Joey did build him a ramp.
Knock him down the fucking street. And yes, I would say that that Joey is trying to show his support for, you know,
so Jimmy's like,
issues.
Let me go save your car, like, dude.
Let me defend you, your vehicle to the end. Yeah, I can't. Is there
anything? Do you think, like, Paige is watching Jimmy put himself in harm's way, being like, I mean, it makes the most sense. Like, why should two of us be in a wheelchair?
Oh my God. She probably would think that and never, ever, ever say it.
Well, I don't think she'd ever say it.
Well, I mean, sometimes I think Paige's intrusive thoughts went out and she says that shit. But I don't think she would ever say that. I think she would think it's so hard. And you might be able to, so hard, and you would be able to see it on her face that she was thinking it.
Right. Oh, Paige.
Yeah, I feel like, oh gosh. The whole gang is just like standing there as fucking calamity occurs. Like, Marco sees just like at the moment that he picks up the keys. Everybody else would have just been in there listening to Craig sing very bad karaoke.
Right.
And then Spinner would have just crashed himself into a pole down the street.
And wrecked the Mustang. Joey would be so mad about it. I can see him clenching his little fists.
He's like, I just can't win. I give you the shirt off my back, and this is the thanks I get. Yeah.
The shirt off my back and more than $250 a month in pizza.
Like, the dividends and the heated just garage. Keep coming. Right? I keep this garage in hydro for y'all. Shit's not shit. Yeah, I just, Craig needs to stop hosting things. That's my takeaway.
Right?
Craig, take a break.
Right? It's okay. Mama Del Rossi would love to host this party. Right, there would, like, be adult supervision.
I can imagine Marco's dad just like wanting to sing karaoke too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point.
He's gonna want to sing some karaoke. He's gonna want to throw a song or two in there. Maybe a duet.
I guess
with Marco.
It's gotta be Joey's house because he's the one who made his house handicap accessible. Which makes sense because it's where the band practices.
It is where the band practices, and that is probably a big reason why he got the ramp. Because then he could just wheel out to the garage. That's all.
It's just, and right, we across. Know he is a lover of the musical arts.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep the band alive. Keep it going. Y'all got more than one song.
You
got to
have faith.
Places. You got to have faith. You know the lyrics, Craig.
Fuck you, Jimmy. That song rules.
Oh my gosh.
Well, actually, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. Okay, we have hit the loopy hour.
I was just about to say that we were doing very good on the loopy factor, but we were, you know, there's always time. But
I know not everybody has got a body like you. Okay, I'm done.
No, I need my mom on here to sing George Michael with you because she would appreciate that so much. Okay. Are there any other highlights to this A-plot?
I think we're good to move to segments. I think I am anyway. I mean, let me scan my note.
My shots fired aren't very long. I have a couple.
Mine either. My fashion isn't either.
No, I have. I think I had just. Yeah, I only have two for fashion.
So. Okay, I have two as well.
All right. So I had a better look at Manny's outfit that she wore in, I forget what episode it was, but she was talking.
But yeah.
Yeah. She's worn this outfit before, and this is when she breaks up with Spinner with her eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's that grommeted half white, half black look. It's very good on her. Probably different pants, but it's a lovely
that
number.
That was one of mine.
Hair is long and glossy. We love it. We love it.
My other one was very simple. It's Hazel in the first day of Jimmy being back. Mm-hmm. And just her very simple, like, laid back athleisure.
Yeah. My second and last one is Paige's little blue backless top at the very loosely titled party. It's like a baby blue, and like it's got a little poof to it, you know, back out. It's very cute, but I don't know. She paired it with these very dorky looking flats. I know that was, we had limited options for shoes at the time, but dear God.
I guess with Jimmy back out of hospital gowns, we're seeing a lot of Triple Five Soul this episode.
We are.
I still don't see the appeal.
Yeah, no. No, I would agree with that. I don't see the appeal either. I think it's pretty, I think it's pretty clear that somebody has an affinity for this brand, and it's not because it's a good brand.
I mean, I don't know. It lasted for a while. I've like looked up Triple Five Soul, and it was a like well-known brand for a while.
Yeah.
I don't get it though.
I don't get it either.
And that's Fashion Corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You want to fire the first shot?
Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
Yes, of course. I have Jimmy, and he is talking to Spinner in the MI lab, and he says, I should have been there for you instead of getting a bullet removed from my spine. My bad.
Yep. my second one was Danny to Liberty. Hey, Liberty, how's your mono?
Oh my gosh, yes. So, my and, second...
Well, and is your second one her retort?
No.
Okay, then can I give her retort?
Yeah. Yeah.
To which she says, bravo, Daniel, you've discovered humor.
Yes.
The Van Sant siblings roast each other well.
They do. That's when, like, that's the first thing, the entry into the B plot is, like, with her legs, like, draped over JT and talk. Yeah. I have Jimmy in that same scene saying, sit down, from this angle I can see up your nose. Not good.
I got most of mine actually from the B plot. That was the B plot came in good for some shots fired.
Yeah.
When Liberty's like talking about the temperature and Day is like, did you check the chlorine levels? And she tells him it's bromine and he's just like, still not strong enough to kill whatever fungus is growing on you.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, they do have like lovely sibling banter, banter roasting. I have JT telling Danny, rolling in cement with you, rolling in the water with your sister. Like, and he's doing the scales hand jive.
I have Danny saying to JT, she's the smartest girl in the whole school, and you don't even have an IQ. You don't deserve her.
But then his response is kind of like, doesn't he say like, well, the smartest girl in school thinks I do.
And right. It's like, it was like a shot fired, but he missed.
But he missed. It's like, that's
like, her. But she's like gonna, by a lot.
She's going to quickly realize that she was short-sighted in that thinking. And you will be letteth loose, but not in that way. Yeah, whatever. I have JT saying to Danny something like when he's saying to do a signal in case the dad comes, he says something obnoxious, you know, like a bark.
I have the comment that leads to their fight, which is, I guess you'll need her to help. I guess you'll need her help to read the instructions to your penis pump.
Yes. And he's like, that's it. We're throwing hands. I have Jay saying to Spinner, because if you want to be punished, I can slap you around myself.
My last one. My last one is Jay saying to Spinner, you want some cheese with that wine or are you going to do something about it?
Yes, I almost put that one. I love Jay, but he's such so. He's also really the worst. He's really the worst.
He's so horrid. But he's like, he's funny. Like he's witty, yes. And he's an agent of chaos.
He's the comic relief.
Like he's just he's so chaotic.
Like, he's like, oh, my friend is
and
literally...
Michael Bell is charming.
He's so charming.
And, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. Jay's horrible.
My friend's having a menti bee. Let me get him drunk.
Right?
In the middle of the day on...
I feel like calling Spinner Jay's friend at this point is as much of a stretch as calling that a fucking party.
Yeah, that's fair. They're just in the same horrible circumstances.
Right. Well, and Jay's not even in that circumstance yet.
Because he doesn't even have the friends to support feeling ostracized from a social group.
Well, and nobody knows that he was involved yet because... Spinner hasn't ratted him out.
Spinner hasn't ratted him out. They just know that he got expelled. Yeah. That's fair. The dime has not been dropped on him yet. But it also won't have the same social repercussions as it does for Spinner.
No, it won't.
Spinner is the cool guy. He's the good clown. He's the good natured guy. Like, he's not harmless, you know? And so
Jay's dad's going to smack him around a little for getting expelled, though.
He gives. In that regard, Bender from Breakfast Club vibes. Yeah. But yeah. We want to do our Shining Stars and Super Bummers, even though I feel like that's fairly
easy. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Shining Stars.
Hazel.
Yeah.
Because.
With the very little that they give her.
With the very. And I mean the scraps. But she gets a little bit more than Paige. So I guess that's a win.
Right.
A win is a win.
A win is a win.
Gotta take the fucking breadcrumbs they give us or bread rinds, whatever. Crusts is, I think, the word I was looking for, my dear.
Nobody really shines in either plot.
No, because I get annoyed by literally the three people in the B plot.
Like, and I'm not saying that Jimmy's a super bummer because he's very justified in his feelings, but it's not like we're seeing Jimmy shine and
display any behavior that would warrant
or us. Just believe, you know, or touch the sky.
Now I'm going to have the
just believe, touch the sky.
Oh my gosh, guys. We are in for a treat with the music in this show.
Okay, but, so super bummers besides everybody.
Spinner. Actually, I do have a shining star.
Yeah?
Snakey Boy. Because I love how he has a brief appearance and he made me feel good. And that's the shot. He's like, hey, Jimmy Brooks, the man is back in the house.
I will allow that. Yeah.
He's a little bit of a, you know, he's like,
you
Hazel.
Know, I'll tell you
he
what.
He made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. He's looking like he's probably going to be a strong contender for Teacher of the Year this year.
I don't know. The competition is so stiff, but you got to bring your best. And I think he brought some good moments this season.
I think so too. Okay, super bummers. Spinner, yeah, obviously. JT, Danny, Jay.
Yes, JT, Danny. And I think Liberty too. Liberty got on my nerves. Like, I get that she was in the middle. But it's my brother's bleeding because of you. And then she's all melodramatic and throwing his shit out.
You've met their father, though.
Yeah.
Still
a bummer, girl. Still
fair.
A bummer. This looks orange, not yellow. Okay. I am getting sleepy. I think that I can also... Let me think about who else is. I don't know. I feel like everybody else is kind of like they did.
Neutral.
Neutral moments of eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reacting to things more than having anything to do with things happening.
So Does it go there?
Does it go there?
I would say yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've got literally the revealing of a massive betrayal that confined someone to a wheelchair for life. And you've also got the emotions of the person, finally, who's confined to said wheelchair. Because we haven't heard shit from Jimmy, really. So it's it is powerful to hear from him and the repercussions. And he gets expelled for goodness gracious sakes, all of that. So yeah, I would say that it does go there. We've got some light day drinking. we've got an almost suicide unaliving by car.
Yeah, no, I think it goes there.
It goes there.
Thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Join us next week to discuss Ellie and Paige's horrible choices in Queen of Hearts. This episode of your mom's podcast was made possible in part by ramps, jacuzzi, and support from listeners like you.
Love it.
All right. I love you. Goodbye.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie Pacini.
Miranda Bickers.
And Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers.
Alika Fenderson.
Corey Newton.
Tawny Marie.
And Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.